All right, so Chippity Chop.
Upon the block.
Hey, you had something there.
Yeah, right.
Whole Nine Yards.
Back.
Here's the music. It's going. It's still going. So,
still going?
Yeah, it's still going. Right, yeah, we're going to leave it in there for a while.
That sounds good.
It's been good. We've been getting some nice feedback from people.
We appreciate the listener mail, listener thoughts.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing in, for sure.
Love that. And you'll be hearing some of those. Try to get to as many things as we can and still do the show. All that feedback.
Yes.
We expected probably some feedback on some of my bad French. I guess that's still coming.
we ask for feedback on things, so we'll get it and read it.
Yeah. So, yay. This one, Ray, you suggested that there's a semi...
Very loose.
...notion of an umbrella this week that you've detected.
We're gonna go with loosely color-based idioms.
Loosely color.
Loosely color. I believe your two are more color-related than mine are.
It's like color plus.
Yeah, color plus. It's a... Imagine the colors in mine.
It's like those stores that are thing and more. And you're like, well, what... What?
More could be anything.
I don't know if I want to go in there now.
Is it cat food? What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're loosely colored this week.
Loosely
trying
colored.
To get back to an umbrella here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. I mean, go ahead. You could say stuff.
I don't know what else to say besides the loosely colored part. We tried. We're trying to get back, like I said, to some kind of name.
Yeah, trying. I was just making a little knob adjustment.
Sweet.
So, what do you... But... Here's the thing. Up first is a non-color.
Non-color.
One.
If I'm going first, yeah. But mine is ace in the hole. So like an ace in, you know, it implies a black or a red maybe.
All right.
I'm saying.
That's
sure.
I'll take that.
But ace in the hole.
Ace in the hole.
We started out with.
Yeah.
And when we say ace in the hole. We're kind of saying a secret weapon or, you know, right? What do you think?
Yeah. Yes. I would say that's or a sort of a safety net. I think I might think of it as too.
Nice.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's I like that usage as well. Yeah. Yeah. I dig that for sure. Well, you know, a wise man once said that you have to know when to hold them and know when you need to fold them.
This fellow's name is Kenny.
You need to know when it's time to walk away, and also you need to know when it's time to run away. Anyway, but yeah, love you, gambler. But this one is a pretty clear definition and usage and kind of lineage. It comes to us from the card game poker, specifically stud poker.
All right.
Are you familiar with poker in general?
Yeah, I never get to play so much anymore. I'm never like an avid player, but yeah, I played some games. Five, you get your 5-card, you get your 7-card, and there's some sort of stud thing.
Right, that's
then
what...
there's some that you got the, there's some cards facing up, or you're showing some cards in some versions of it.
Well, those are the ones you just mentioned. Are the stud pokers where you hide some cards and show some cards.
Okay.
Which I also am lightly familiar with, but I was more of a draw player. I don't know if it's called draw, but...
Close to your chest.
Yeah, we play just, right, you get the cards, everyone's got their hands, their cards are facing themselves, they're looking at their hands. But the stud poker is you get some cards, and then you have, depending on what game you're playing, you have one or possibly 2 cards that are face down on the table that you never see. And you play the whole game that way. The whole hand, you know, each hand.
Yeah.
Which, again, I had always played, I guess, again, what I'm calling draw poker. Which
it's
is
like a short leap to blackjack from that.
From the stud poker.
From the, yeah, playing with the cards you don't know what they are.
Yeah, that's interesting. The stud poker, like we're talking about, is where this term hole comes from. It is a term in stud poker, and it refers to any cards that a player must keep secret from the rest of the table.
They're down in the hole.
Right. You don't see them. No one sees them. So stud poker first appeared as early as 1860s in America. In America is what I said. In America. Wow.
It's okay. There's no rules anymore.
Up until then, all of the poker games had been what's defined as closed, I guess, not draw, as I had said, where the cards were known only to the player to whom they were dealt. like that definition. Where stud poker is a more open game, where everyone knows what everybody has because the cards are face up on the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just... Yeah. I don't think I've participated in that enough to understand the pros and cons of that scenario.
Well, here's how a stud poker game is played. And I believe we're going to go with five-card stud.
Yeah, keep it simple.
So everybody at the table, ante in. In. You're in. You in this hand or not? Cool. Each player is dealt one card face down and then one card face up. And then we bet some more. Then we get a third card face up, bet some more. Fourth card face up, bet. Fifth card face up, bet. And now who's ever left shows the cards and wins the pot. So you're betting each hand, not knowing what you have in a secret card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like this at all.
It's an interesting, yeah, interesting way to play. So I probably didn't enjoy it personally because I don't like that lack of control. So I'm sure that's why I shied away from stud poker. Plus, Graham only played like regular poker, closed poker. I don't believe Graham played stud poker with us.
Yeah, that's smart of her.
Yeah, she taught us all kinds of stuff. But the earliest printed citation of this phrase is an Iowan newspaper, The New Era, in June 1886. Thus matters went on until four cards lay in front of each man, face up, and one turned down. Not a pair in sight, and everyone thought each man had an ace in the hole. So they're saying each other player thinks that the other player has that ace in their hole card. And we don't know. Right. And then over time, it became slang for any kind of hidden in the Western, whatever ways, Western slang, hidden weapon specifically around a card table. Like in a shoulder holster.
That's tough for us.
Wow. and then by the 20s, it was kind of used as basically any secret leverage, like as we use it kind of now. A fun trivia to this is ace up one's sleeve is a very close sister phrase, which also comes from poker.
That would make more sense.
Yeah. Well, I think if I had known stud poker more so, maybe it would have made clearer sense, the ace in the hole part.
Well, once you know the whole terminology.
Exactly. Yeah, it's right there.
It's laying right there.
Yeah.
But I guess I wondered about the bonus trivia, the stud thing. Like, why stud?
Why stud? That's a good one, actually. Huh.
You know?
We'll have to follow up with that one, maybe. That's a good idea. I didn't look into that. I just looked into the,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a pretty direct one, that one, as sometimes they are.
Yeah.
But now we all know how to play stud poker.
Well, yeah, I might need to listen back.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. But it's here for us to listen back to.
Yeah, that's handy.
Yeah, the information is here for us. What's your first, probably more based in color than my ace was?
Mine is quasi seemingly based in color per se.
All right.
It's cut the mustard.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure, mustard.
So when I say, I don't know, Ray, that joke didn't cut the mustard. What am I saying?
It's very difficult when we do this not to answer with another idiom. But you mean, what I want to say is you're up to snuff, which is another idiom.
Yeah,
but
we did that one.
It means you've succeeded in accomplishing expectations. You've succeeded in something positive. That fell off the rails.
Yeah.
What?
Well, it's a little...
It's good enough.
But good enough in the way that it needs to be pretty good.
Right.
In order to get a certain grade, mustard grade.
The mustard grade.
Yeah.
So A plus job. Great job.
It has to be
We'll simplify it. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Great job.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I got some early examples of it. I'll give you one here is that it was in a Galveston, Texas newspaper in 1891.
Okay.
And then something else came up that I was like, oh, wow, man. I this is just one of those rabbit holes. But I did not burrow tangentially. So I have no additional information on this. So my ignorance will be like cheese in the wind. But there was an author, O. Henry. Okay. O. period Henry.
Okay.
And of course you go, oh, I thought that was a candy bar. But
that's O-H, comma, Henry, exclamation point.
But clearly.
Yes.
Right?
It's, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%. Yes.
O. Henry.
Yeah.
Wrote some stuff also in Texas. 1907, The Heart of the West. Mm-hmm. I looked around and found a proposition that exactly cut the mustard. And you go, all right.
All right.
So these are uses that are showing themselves to be very late 19th century, early 20th century,
mm-hmm.
where we're seeing it. Now, we explained our current use, which is kind of like, you know, rise to expectations, to a high, you know, oh, high nice. Expectation kind
That's
of
a
thing.
Good one. Yeah.
Now, some people really fought hard. You know, I always love to highlight these ones that I go, come on, man. But it's fine. And I might look back 3 weeks from now and go, oh, I think that was right.
Yeah.
But in the military, there is a term which we use now, and I never knew it was from the military, or a word, I should say, muster, M-U-S-T-E-R. You may say, I need to muster up the energy to mow the lawn.
Yeah, I can't muster. Yeah.
But muster came from the military in that way as an assembly of troops. You need to muster the troops.
Okay.
So there were people that thought this is just a bastardization of the tongue, and they really meant muster, and they're saying mustard, and this means you aren't up to snuff of being a troop. But it's really a convoluted thing, and there's nothing about mustering the troops that has anything to do with excellence or performance. It's simply a word that means just how we use it, gather, you know. So I call no on that and other words.
Yeah, so it's not right, because like you said, it just means gather. There's not a good enough tie to that at all.
Yeah, so along with that, or not that, not the military thing, but to move on in the idea of these other sorts of thoughts, some obvious and obviously kind of goofy as well.
Okay.
Ideas that I came across that people had. I feel like I'm setting up a top 10 list or something. But
number 10.
Mustard seed.
Okay.
That... Okay, you know mustard seeds, they're tiny little things, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes I smash them in the mortar and pestle, you know.
That's how you, right, make but, mustard powder.
But I would never, ever get out my paring knife and try to cut one, right?
No.
No. But somebody suggests that if you can do that.
That should be number one.
Then you're really something, right?
You know, number one's always supposed to be the worst one.
I like to pepper
like do
them
it for
in.
Real. Yeah, okay, that one, okay.
Yeah.
Nah.
And I guess, you know, another popular one like this, what the hell is a mustard plaster? I always bring that up, but isn't it also made from mustard seed paste that you put on a wound or something?
I assumed so.
You like smear some of this gunk in some cheesecloth and stick it on an infected cut?
I assumed that was...
I mean, if you're in a cabin in Wyoming in 1840,
I mean, that's
I'm
all
saying.
We had. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing our best. We're just learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's how I always assume, but I don't know.
Well, I guess they got a lot of use out of mustard, and I guess they used to also, you know, use it to preserve meat. So they would coat meat in a coating of mustard, and it would dry this hard crust around your meat.
No, that makes sense.
And then you would have to cut it. But I mean, All right.
At least
people,
we get.
But yeah.
You know what we like? We like that nice and neat box. That puts it in a box.
It does.
That puts it in a very nice and neat box.
But it doesn't help me any. But that's cool.
It's unsatisfying.
Cool. Yeah.
But it, yeah. Makes sense, too. You're like, yeah, okay. Uses like a little curing agent.
Yeah. Or you know, like, I guess it was, if it worked, it was better than hyper salting. I guess, you know, you used to have to do that, right?
If yeah.
You, like, I'm always bringing up the caveman and the woolly mammoth. So, you know, you cut him up, but you can't eat him all at one sitting. But you don't want him to go bad because, you know.
Yeah.
Then hopefully you had, like, some salt. Anyway, I digress. There's a little history of this that I like that is slightly relevant. I like slightly relevant things.
Sure.
Mustard, I mean to say, it's sort of passed on from this ancient French methodology of creating a condiment that was like smashing up seeds from a different cabbage family.
Okay.
And you mix that with fresh grape juice that you just squeezed as well.
Okay.
And this concoction kind of makes me want to taste it. I'd like to taste that. It was then called must, but M-O-U-S-T. But I don't know how the French would have said that. Mousse.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
This is like an early mustard kind of idea you're saying. Crush up the cabbage seeds and some...
And the grape juice.
Grape juice, that's what
And the grape juice was moussed. And then whenever you made this concoction, then you would make moustard.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And that eventually easily... they dropped the O in that as it evolved and was picked up in other languages. So it was mustard. And that is not nothing.
No, that's a nice little bit.
Nice little aside. And before I bring it home, there was one other tasty little quote from O. Henry. Oh, this O. Henry fellow really enjoyed using mustard in his writings. And this one, it seems like he's describing, like, this character must be an actor, but not the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And so this character in something called Cabbages and Kings, 1904, says, "I'm not headlined in the bills, but I'm the mustard in the salad dressing just the same." So... Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that mustard in the salad.
It's a good tang. He's got a zest.
He's saying, I'm contributing.
Yeah, listen, guys, I'm a part of this flavor salad.
Yeah.
This flavor concoction.
Concoction.
He's cutting the mustard.
Well, yeah. So there's also this idea that cutting has been around for a long time as to mean... is to be used in a way that suggests perfection, you know, to same as, you know, think of it as painting, you know. I have things I'm good at, and then I have things I'm not so good at, and might surprise you. And so if I have to paint something, it's best if Jay uses tape.
Sure.
Some people don't need the tape. I don't understand how.
Yeah.
But I've seen it.
Yeah.
I like the tape. And so if you think of that, you think of cutting, you know, cutting a straight fine line with an extra sharp knife. It's a skill. And if you screw it up, you really screwed up something, whatever you're cutting, right? Mm-hmm. So that gets employed into this wrap up because the truth of it is mustard itself being such a sort of punchy, bright, sprightly taste that added just like that fellow said in the book in 1904, added those nice notes to the flavor.
Yeah.
And so it was seen for hundreds of years and has been used for hundreds of years, referred to when you want to refer to something in that way, even figuratively. So you might say, that painting is keen as mustard. So this quasi-idiom keen as mustard has been around since as far back as 17th century we have it. So it's an easy flip to see it evolve from that sort of idiom, keen as mustard, this ongoing idea that cutting is perfection.
Precision.
Yeah, and they got combined. But we didn't see them combined again in print. We don't have much of a record that till late 19th century.
Oh.
And then it became pervasive. So that's what I have on Cut the Mustard. Now, having unearthed keen as mustard, but I don't think that that's going to reveal much more to us except what I just said.
Yeah.
It's an obvious evolution of, hey, this is zesty, and that thing adds zest to my life. Call it that.
Yeah, it adds a nice thing to it. It's making it better than it was beforehand.
Yeah.
Let's make it nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That cut the mustard over here.
Hey. Thingy. So I hope these commercials cut the mustard.
Yeah, we wasted it. I wasted it. Yep, you could have used it on that.
Yeah, it's used already.
Duh.
Support Whole Nine Yards and make your life easier with Instacart, online grocery shopping made simple. Instacart connects you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores in a single order. Products you love from local stores, hand-selected based on your preferences. Many items may be delivered in as little as an hour. Instacart helps to save you money on your favorite items and recommends new products that you might also love. Instacart, the most convenient way to shop. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at clementemuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's clementemuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
And we are back.
Bam, 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 bam.
Now, that happened already.
I was just like wrapping it up.
Oh, yeah. Wrap it up.
Yeah. We're back.
We are. And good things are happening.
Yeah.
Not the TikTok. We're not on that.
No, not yet.
No, you'd like to see us on that. But Instagrams?
Yes.
Remember?
On there.
And Twitters?
On there.
On there. Check. Whole Nine Yards pod.
Check.
With the 9 number.
Yes.
Facebooks. So hit us up. Let us know even more interesting things.
Yeah.
Or comment on what we've said or done.
Yeah. If you know more things about stud poker, and if the other one's actually called open or draw. I don't know. Closed is what it said. Sorry, not open.
Did it say closed?
Closed. They referred to other games that weren't stud as closed.
Oh. I guess I'm just not, I don't play enough cards.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, the Texas Hold'em craze took hold of the country for a while. But even still, it was on every TV channel forever. So you could watch it whenever. But yeah, I didn't learn or play at that point.
Yeah. I bet you go on the YouTube or something, you figured out.
Oh, you can figure anything out from YouTube.
Sure. So the colors are back.
Back with your next color.
And I have a simple one, which is out of the blue.
All right.
So we say out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
And that just means what?
That happened randomly or out of nowhere. Yeah. Suddenly.
Suddenly and unexpectedly.
Suddenly and unexpectedly is perfect. That is a perfect definition. Yes, I would say things happen suddenly and unexpectedly.
So, having said that, that it means suddenly and unexpectedly.
will this answer come out of the blue for us?
I don't think it will. This is, like I said, it's a simple one.
Yeah.
There's an older slash sister idiom, which I can't recall hearing personally ever, but it is older. Bolt out of the clear.
Bolt out of the clear.
Yes.
Huh.
And there's a document of that that dates back to 1837.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, bolt out of the blue.
So, see, that one sounds familiar then when you say it, when I hear it.
Bolt and blue, not clear. Right?
No, the blue, not the clear at all. The bolt out of the blue does have a, I feel like I've heard that.
Take that blue thing and that clear thing.
All right.
So there are, I want to say, two different camps. When I listen to some radio interviews, have I said this before?
I don't know.
You're listening and somebody asks a question that's pretty good of another guest, you know?
Yeah.
And I really dislike when the guest says, well, it's both. It's kind of both. And I'm like, no, man, come on, be decisive. It's either A or B, or at least it's more of A or more of B. And then A sort of kind of has some play. But I'm a jerk. I get it. So there are some camps, and there's a camp that I'm less of a fan of, let's say, because there are people that want to say it's both. I go, no, sorry, it's not both. Someone else came up with this other thing. I get it. So out of the sea.
It's two things, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of both.
Yeah, it's similar.
So out of the ocean, out of the sea.
Okay.
Right? So that, you know, whatever surprised you. So I don't know what's surprising me out of the sea. Anything like a shark jumping in my boat? Like
what's a whole, we don't even know. It's like 10% of the stuff that's down there.
No.
Anything's going to be surprising.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, to me, I don't screw around in the ocean, guys.
No.
Any water that has like life in it, I'm not going to get in that water.
I mean, I'll get in the shoreline and smack about. But here again, if I get bitten by a shark, I have no business being surprised. I'm in the ocean.
It seems like you wouldn't. You're right. Exactly.
I went into the ocean.
It would be surprising, but it's not unexpected.
Right.
Right. You'd be like, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to stay up here, read a book on the beach.
Right. But of course, thunderbolt and lightning very, very,
very, very, man, as soon as you said it, I know. I was already singing it.
I can't.
No, can't.
So the thunderbolt bolts out of the blue, out of the clear blue sky.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, like the gods must be crazy or anything.
Yeah.
Something falls out of the sky suddenly and unexpectedly. A bolt of lightning comes out of the sky and more. Particularly, what's extra unexpected is that if the sky is blue, and then there's a bolt of lightning, a thunderbolt, as it's called.
A bolt
there,
of lightning.
You just don't see that coming when the sky is blue. If it were gray and cloudy and storm rolling in, yes. But when the sky is blue, it's extra unexpected.
That would be unexpected.
And there is just no specific...
Yeah.
Aside from the 1837 printing and that being the earliest that we see of a form of this, I mean, it's a pretty obvious one, not a very layered, complicated idiom. And I say the sea people are just a little nuts. Besides, the sea looks blue because of the sky, right? So the water's not blue. You ever get a ball jar of that water?
Listen up, folks. First of all, it's because of refraction. All right, it's not even blue. You can't. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So
yeah,
So Sky, I call BS on. It could be both.
It's clear at best.
At best. So that's it. It's a bolt out of the clear blue sky, shortened down, surprising, and unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. But yeah, like you said, direct, which is also good. It's nice.
I mean, sometimes they're super direct and you just got to do it.
Yeah. We get what we have. We work with what we have.
Well, I mean, it's important that we cover all of them and not just cover the intricate ones.
I agree.
Try to cover everything that people use, especially this one, still well in circulation. Oh, you know,
for sure.
Vocabulary.
Yeah. Out of the blue is all over the place. Said it 4 or 5 times today.
Sure. And you have...
I am going to close us off with some listener thoughts.
Listener thoughts.
Someone... Nice. I like that. We got to work something like that out.
Yeah, I know.
This is an email from to our heyyou@whole9yards.org email address, which you too can write to as well. From, I believe, Kyer. Is how the pronunciation is written. So hopefully I'm saying that right. Kyer says, really enjoying the podcast. Thought I'd, quote, fire off an email to request that you read into the etymology of point blank. Oh. Plenty there for you and your listeners to enjoy.
Point blank.
Yeah, perhaps there are other terms that have matured. I don't want to say that because it kind of gives a little bit of a background to it. So it's just, yeah. Kyer writes in and says, let's get point blank on our list. And I say, let's do it. Also goes on to ask, who's who in the podcast image? And I responded and said, but do we want to say on air? Does it matter? It's not like a secret, right?
It is not a secret. Just no one has ever asked.
No, I know. Ray is the one with the fake mustache. And Jay also has a fake mustache.
Yeah, so now you know.
No, I am the bald gentleman to the, I guess, left, if you're facing it.
Yeah, they see it fellow. On the left.
Yeah, the shorter fellow.
And I'm on the right.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Right, leaving the last position. But yes, thank you, Kyer, for writing in. We appreciate the thoughts, and we'll get point blank on our list. And then some of the category, perhaps, you mentioned in your email, which I'm not going to read, you know.
What's that make me... What is the thing called... there's another thing besides like patient zero. It's not patient zero, but it's like... it's ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I think about... If I had to try to guess point blank, I'd say it's kind of like that, right? That's ground zero. But we'll put it on the list.
On
and
the
dig
list.
In.
Yeah. Yes. So thank you, Kyer, for writing to us at Whole Nine Yards. Wait, heyyou@whole9yards.org. There we go.
All right.
But you can write to us at Whole Nine Yards Pod on Twitter and Instagram, for sure.
Yeah, I caught that at the top.
Yes, you did.
But we could, yeah. Please do write. I mean, people have been writing. It's very fun for us.
Yeah, it is nice. I'm going to work on a listener thoughts jingle.
Yeah, I'm going to get that a little better. We have the capability.
Yeah.
All right, so fantastic. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be back next week. I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms. Did a little at harmony.
That's nice. Yeah. That's nice.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at whole9yards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@whole9yards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.